I had the best email from a student last night. She said that she was trying to avoid getting work done. And
which is usually not the best emails.
I'd been harassing her about, well, not her, but like the entire class about listening to it.
Don't quote him on that.
Whoops, yeah, we're not recording, right? Because that kind of stuff never shows up on it. So anyway, MPB, as she will be known, said that she needed a stress reliever. And so she listened to the Toy Hall of Fame and said it was the best procrastinating tool she had ever come across.
Oh.
Said it brought a little ray of light to a very grim day.
Oh, that's sad. I'm so
mad. That's what we do. A little ray of light to a grim day. And welcome back to Even More Mashed Up. It's the weekly podcast coming to you from Misericordia University, where two young, vibrant minds dissect pop culture and tell you how to think about the world. I'm Alan.
And I am also vibrant mind, Patrick.
I said two.
I know.
I only said two. Sorry,
I was just piggybacking.
That was
entirely accurate.
Old, my mind
there's two.
Is old and crippled.
There's two.
Yeah.
Right. There are exactly two.
Good. So there are two?
Yes.
That would be Alan and Patrick.
Yeah. Yep. So on today's show.
Mind-wise, young and vibrant.
Richard, you do know we're setting up the
show.
We're trying
to set up the show now, Richard.
You do understand.
There we go. Okay, now we're set. Excellent.
Here we go.
Well-oiled machine.
Indeed. As always.
So longtime listeners of the show will remember that we did a crossover episode between the podcast and the radio show that we do.
Why did we do that?
On CougarRadio.net.
Everybody loves crossovers.
And it seems like the CW has followed in our footsteps last week having their big superhero crossover episode, which is what we will be talking about today.
Indeed.
Both the specific crossover on the CW with Supergirl and Arrow and Flash and Legends of Tomorrow, but also crossovers, comic book crossovers in general.
Right. Absolutely. So let's start with comic book crossovers in general.
Makes sense.
And I want to start when I was a little kid.
Yes.
When I was a little kid, I loved the idea of especially like the DC-Marvel crossover.
See, those were not my favorite.
Well, they were all, like I said, I loved the idea.
Okay.
Like,
the execution
like,
was
the anticipation,
good.
Like the idea they were going to take X-Men.
Yes.
And they're going to take Titans.
That actually probably was the best of the crossovers.
Right, and they were going to bring them together. Yeah. It was never quite as good as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
But like, I loved it. Or, like, the Justice League Avengers, not so good, maybe. Superman.
No, the JLA Avengers that Busiek and Paredes did was excellent.
Was it really?
Oh, it was so good.
I thought you just said X-Men Titans was the best.
Of, like, the early ones.
Oh.
JLA Avengers was much later. Of, like, your 80s ones.
I loved the idea, but they were often not quite as good.
Yeah. See, I always liked the crossover between, like, actual titles, like the monthly titles.
Well, that's where I was going to go next.
Yeah, those are the ones that I always looked forward to.
What were your favorites as a kid? And then we'll move on to today.
This will shock you.
Avengers.
No. Actually, probably the one that I remember the most fondly
is
Inferno.
Really? Obscure X-Men crossover.
It wasn't really obscure. It was the entire like Marvel line for like that entire summer. And I bought every single issue of Inferno.
Did you catalog them?
Of course I did. You know me. this is what I do. But yeah, I have to say, like, the X-Men crossovers in the 90s, like Mutant Massacre, Fall of the Mutants.
I was going to start with
Inferno. Those were kind of like the peak of the crossover.
My point next was because what came next was Strife.
Yeah.
Right? And whenever Strife is in a comic, let alone a crossover, you just know that it's not going to work.
The other issue is you had Executioner Song, which had, not Executioner Song, Extinction Agenda, that was the next one, which you had the Jim Lee art, but then you had Liefeld on New Mutants, and you had Bogdanov on X-Factor. Like, it was so jarringly different. Like, the art never – like, that could have been a great crossover, but the art was just way too jarringly different.
Yeah, but by that time, the crossover had become such an overtly sort of commercial thing.
Yes.
It used to be – maybe it's because I was a kid when the first ones came out. Mm-hmm. It felt like there was art to it. Like, they were actually trying to tell a story.
Well, it was rare.
Right. Well, number one, it was rare. Number two, it felt like it had a purpose beyond just selling comics, which nowadays I'm not so sure.
No, well, nowadays we're just in sort of constant event crossover mode. And I think the point about the story is well told, and I think that's why the X-Men crossovers were so good, was because Claremont was behind all of them.
Right, but
sort of had like his overarching vision, particularly Mutant Massacre and Inferno and Fall of the Mutants. Like, those were big, like, storyline payoffs for Claremont.
Right, but also because it was a limited number of crossovers.
Yes.
Like, it wasn't a crossover that tried to pull everything into the story, because that somehow would be...
Up until Inferno, where you kind of had, like, everything.
Better. Right.
You had, like, your main storyline in the X-Men comics, and then you had kind of your ancillary crossovers in all of the other stuff that were dealing with the situation.
Right, right. So, Richard, what was your favorite crossover as a kid?
Oh, just always the kind of classic stuff. Like, you know, Batman, Superman. You know, when they used to do, especially the animated There was the animated series when they did the movie with the Joker.
It was okay, it worries me that you consider the 90s animated series classic, because I'm feeling really, really old
stop,
right
stop.
Now.
Well, you should.
Young, vibrant minds.
Yeah.
That point was
minds,
clearly
yes,
made.
Bodies, yeah. No.
Classic. 1995.
Wow. Yeah, way back in the 90s.
Yeah. 2016.
In the early mists of time. The very beginnings of media.
Well, you know, because right around the turn of the century.
Yeah.
Lord knows Batman and Superman had never hung out together before.
No.
Right. But it's hard to even think of them as a crossover, right? Because there was almost as soon as there was Batman and Superman, there was World's Finest.
Yeah, well, I mean,
like, it doesn't take
some ways,
long, which is kind of a crossover.
It's kind of, but see, for me, the first kind of crossover would be kind of the first time where you had like monthly titles that were separate crossing over,
right?
Which for me, that would be the Avengers Defenders War in the 70s, where you had, you know, Avengers and the alternating issues of Defenders were alternating parts of the series.
Richard literally looks right now like, what's the 70s?
I know.
that's the problem. So you guys ask me, like, you know, what's your
70s?
What's your favorite? It's like, I watched the animated show as a kid.
But, like, you know, like, some people will talk about, like, the Kree-Skrull War storyline as the first crossover. And I'm like, that takes place all in Avengers. Like, other people show up. Like, the Inhumans are in there and whatnot.
Right, so not really a crossover
for me. I would say, I'm pretty sure, for me, Avengers Defenders, which was the first time you had, or that I remember the first time you had, two monthly titles sharing a story between them.
If you say that, I'm gonna accept it as
for me, that's truth. The first one.
Right.
And those were always the crossovers I liked the best, was when you had kind of the regular monthly titles crossing over.
In ways that mattered.
Yes.
Not ways that just sort of brought people together so they could be together.
Yes.
And then move their own separate ways. But like a crossover should have a real impact on the series that kind of move out of them.
Which, again, is another reason why those 80 ones in the X-Men, like Mutant Massacre, had a huge impact.
It had a relatively large. Yeah.
Inferno, like all of these had huge impacts on
stuff that mattered.
The story that Claremont was telling.
Right. It was stuff that mattered, for sure. Yeah. Now, that kind of leads us to, I guess, implicitly, right, crossovers today.
Yeah.
Which, like, crossover, like, okay, you're going to say this isn't a crossover, and I totally buy your argument about what makes it a crossover.
Okay.
But one of the first crossovers I think about was the wedding of Mr. and Mrs. Fantastic. Like, when Reed Richards and Sue Storm got married way, way, way back in the mists of the 1960s.
Okay.
Right? And there's
lost
a big...
That was in annual number three, I think.
It's an annual,
yeah. I think it was annual number three.
And I read it recently for the book that we're writing. And it struck me that it's not really meant to do anything but have everybody in it.
Right.
That's the point of it. So Dr. Doom doesn't want Mr. and Mrs. Fantastic to get married.
Yeah.
So he tries to interfere. And so he literally recruits every villain that's ever existed in the Marvel Universe.
Right.
And every hero shows up to try to prevent the marriage from happening.
Right. Yeah, well, you had everyone showed up at the Wasp and Yellowjacket's marriage.
Right,
Doctor Strange is there, Daredevil is there, kind of the same thing.
Well, yeah, except the Fantastic Four showed all of the problems that come with it. Because nobody gets an extended storyline. It's like three or four panels for each villain and like some like really kind of hackneyed plot.
Yeah.
And then two or three good guys subverting it.
Right.
And then moving to the next and then moving to... So it's literally not a story so much as it's kind of like a roll call.
Yeah.
Like, here is everybody.
Right.
And then Lee and Kirby kind of show up at the
end.
Though
back then, probably just having them all together in that issue was unique enough.
Right.
That the roll call, you know, that's like, oh my God, they're all together.
Right. I'm sure that it felt that way then.
Yeah.
But it kind of sets the pattern for what doesn't work nowadays.
Right.
So, like, the midway point would be all the DC Crisis stuff.
Yeah. Well, I would say, you know, you have DC Crisis.
Yep.
You have Legends. And then there's a very quick – because the next thing was Millennium, which was awful.
Right.
And then you're kind of moving very much into kind of the era of, like, the constant crossovers.
Right. But even the Crisis stuff bothers me sometimes when I go back to read it.
Oh, I love Crisis.
Because there's clearly panels and pages where they're just trying to put as many heroes as they can.
Yeah.
On the page.
Well, when you hire Perez as an artist, that's kind of what you're paying him to do.
I love George Perez.
Yeah,
like, as a guy who grew up reading Titans when I was a kid, love George Perez.
Yeah.
But the idea that we're going to take every obscure character and just make sure they're on a panel somewhere, less interesting to me.
Yeah, see, shockingly, I love that stuff.
You like cataloging them, don't you?
I do. I just like, people, you know.
Numbers and lists.
Knock Crisis on Infinite Earth, but I love Crisis on Infinite Earth.
Yeah. But after that, it really does.
It does start to take the note. Well, and that's what, one of the things I found interesting, you know, kind of looking at, I went to the Wikipedia and sort of they have an entry.
Oh, boy. Wait. Numbers coming?
Yes, numbers are coming.
All right, numbers. You said numbers and catalogs. Richard
numbers
was right.
Yes.
So they have like an entry on like the comic book crossovers.
Yes.
So the first entry covers the Golden and Silver Age. Like that's the first entry.
Okay.
Second entry is 1975 to 1982.
Okay.
Third entry, 1983 to 89. And then after that, every single year is listed individually.
Wow. That is –
because that just kind of summed up. I was like, yeah, that's what happened about like – late 80s, early 90s, like crossovers, like everything became a crossover.
To my credit, I saw that coming without even looking at Wikipedia.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to give us like actual data
from Wikipedia.
To support the
claims.
Yes.
Yeah. To support the claims that we are making.
I'm a big believer in opinion.
Because, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We're at the point where, I mean, what, Marvel is currently, they still haven't finished Civil War II.
That has taken forever.
Well, it's not good.
It's not good?
No.
Well, the Ms. Marvel characterization is just
the
like,
Ms. Marvel characterization is terrible.
Yeah.
The plot makes no sense. Because the whole idea, like, ooh, there's an Inhuman that can see the future. And I'm like, you have had multiple people that have done that in the past.
Right.
I'm like, it's not been like this major crisis.
And then Hawkeye's assassination of.
Yeah. Yeah,
totally useless, right? I don't want to spoil it if people haven't read it yet.
Yeah.
But it just – it makes no sense. It's all very forced.
It is.
The whole plot is forced.
And more forced than – like it really kind of – I mean of kind of the recent Marvel crossovers.
Yeah.
Like it's clearly kind of the bottom of the barrel.
Right. And what disturbs me the most is like you kind of assume at this point – that Civil War 3 and 4 are already in the pipeline.
Really?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Like, they're already in development. Like, I love Marvel.
Yeah.
I'm all for a Marvel crossover,
mm-hmm.
but it just feels like they're running out of ideas.
They are. Well, when your major crossover, I mean, again, you know, they did Secret Wars.
Great story.
And then they did Secret Wars 2.
I really like Secret Wars 2.
What?
Yeah, it was a good one.
How do you like Secret
Wars 2? Bobby
and
I love that one.
Oh, that is the worst.
Come on, it's little imposters running around as heroes. What a great idea. That's
what?
Not Civil War.
The expression.
No, Secret Wars 2 is when the Beyonder takes on human form.
Oh,
in
no,
the
that's
80s.
A dumb one.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about like the one where the aliens come down and shape.
That's Secret Invasion.
There you go. It was a secret something or other.
Oh, my
secret
God.
Secret something.
You just explained the issue. Like, Secret Wars? Oh, I confused that with Secret Invasion.
Yeah.
That's the whole point, though. They're all a big mishmash. Are you sighing?
Yeah. Okay, number
well,
one.
Well, we're 10 minutes in. It's time.
You just said you love Secret Invasion and that it's a huge mishmash.
No, all of the crossovers are a mishmash. Yeah, the crossovers. Yeah, like, you can't keep them straight.
This is why I get data, so I don't get Secret Wars and Secret Invasion mixed up.
That might have been a mistake.
Also, I just wouldn't do that because of who I am.
Exactly, yeah. Because you've cataloged all of this.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? It feels to me, for reasons I don't want to explain, maybe it's time to move on to the CW crossover.
Okay.
Is television doing any better? Or do you have more to talk about? I don't want to cut you short.
Well, I did find a couple of lists of like...
There's a question
you think that's
for the ages.
You think that's kind of a loaded question?
I did find a couple of like top 10 best and most important crossovers.
Okay, let's because you love your lists.
So do you want to do top 10 or do you want to do most important?
Let's do quality.
So which one of those
that
is
would be
it?
Top 10, right?
Okay, thank you. I'm like,
most important doesn't have to
the
be quality.
Okay.
So number 10.
Yes.
Kree-Skrull War.
Yeah, whatever.
Number 9, the original Civil War.
It's better than the new one.
Number 8, Secret Wars.
Secret Invasion or Secret Wars?
Secret Wars.
Okay, fair enough.
Number 7 is Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah.
6, I think the middle of the list is where you're going to start having problems.
Yeah.
6 is the 52, the weekly limited series.
Presentism.
Yeah. Just wait for it, because number 5 is Flashpoint.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm, yeah.
Yeah.
We overrate the...
4 is House of M.
I didn't read that very closely, I have to admit.
It wasn't bad. It's probably, I would say it and Siege are probably the best of the Bendis crossovers.
Yeah.
DC 1 million.
Yeah.
Identity Crisis.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's way too high.
Really?
Crisis?
Yeah, that's so terrible. And then interesting on both lists, well, this it was number 1 on top 10, it was number 2 on most important, was Infinity Gauntlet.
Interesting.
I think that was like 88.
It's a very nerdy pick.
Yeah. Well, right? These are probably, it's from Goliath.com and comic book resources, so.
Yeah, so it's a fairly nerdy.
So fairly nerdy.
put together for a fairly nerdy population yeah. by fairly nerdy people.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that should be their tagline.
Wait, trademark.
Yes. Patent pending.
Yes. Do you patent
I don't know.
Phrases? I don't think so.
I don't know these things.
Send it to the patent office.
Yeah,
sir.
No, identity crisis should not be anywhere near on that list.
No.
Like, that is...
That's
it's just a
awful.
Bad story.
Yeah, it's dumb.
Like, the whole revelation of who killed Sue Dibney.
Dibney.
That it was...
Dibney's dead.
You know, that... what was it? Oh, Gene Loring, you know, accidentally kills her and then, right. like, uses a flamethrower to burn her body, and yet... You know, when they're investigating the crime scene, like Batman and all the greatest detectives can't find a clue anywhere. Yep. Like, the whole thing was an accident. Like, it's not like she had a chance to cover up her...
Yeah.
Oh, it's just terrible.
Yes.
So...
Agreed.
But yes, but we should probably move on to the CW's recent efforts.
Because, like I said, maybe TV did it better.
You know,
apply that question to any topic.
Can I...
I'm not sure I'd say better, but I would say, like, the for me, the TV version... was about as comic booky as I could have hoped.
I would agree. There was some real comic booky moments I want to talk about.
Yeah.
But as Richard laughs, something that I realized when I was driving to Michigan for Thanksgiving mm-hmm. and listening, Richard's kind of like our Ed McMahon.
You're just realizing this now?
Yeah. But the laugh is very...
I don't think he's our Ed McMahon.
Oh,
have you ever...
Yes,
what
sir.
Was it
is
the...
That,
is
that a soccer reference?
What was it, the Late Late Show with, I forget his name, but he had like an animatronic skeleton
yeah.
that he would talk to. That's Richard. He's the animatronic skeleton.
Conan?
Not Conan. It wasn't Conan. It was the Scottish guy.
But he hosts the Word Game
yes.
on television.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but yeah. he had like an animatronic.
He's a game show host. I think he's no longer cultural.
Animatronic skeleton.
Not Steve Harvey.
Yeah, the Scottish guy is Steve Harvey.
Hey, you just assume he's not Scottish because he's
Jeez.
Oh, Richard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Okay,
can we
so,
talk about the crossover?
Yes, please.
Here's the thing. Like, as soon as Supergirl comes on, because she's the first of the four shows.
Yes.
And they're recapping,
mm-hmm.
I realize I'm in way over my head.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I have not been watching Supergirl, and
yeah.
it could not be more complicated.
It's a very
to
complex
try show. To enter the
it's
show
It's one of the things
right
I
now.
Like about the show is that they move very quickly on Supergirl. Like,
yeah.
it does not slow down.
Yeah.
But the other thing I really – because and Supergirl was one of the episodes that I think really captured like one sort of very common thing in comic book crossovers, which is it was very much a Red Skies episode.
Mm.
See, you're not catching the lingo.
Mm.
During the original Crisis.
Yeah.
Like a number of series were billed as crossovers.
Right.
In that they just showed like the red skies in the background.
Right.
And that was the entirety of their crossover.
Yeah, no, it was not a crossover.
And Supergirl. That's,
you've gotten to the heart of my argument.
Yeah, is that the Supergirl episode was basically an episode of Supergirl.
I accidentally.
With like the crossover coming at the end.
I accidentally deleted it from my DVR.
Yeah.
So I had to spend $1.99 to watch it.
Oh.
And as I'm taking notes on the show, like literally the notes are dotted with. Where's the crossover?
Yeah.
Where's the crossover?
Yeah.
Where's the crossover? Like,
yeah, their
Barry
four-night
Sisko-
crossover event was more like three nights and about
yeah.
5 minutes.
Yeah. Barry and Sisko showing up in the coda of Supergirl?
Yes.
Not a crossover.
Yeah, no.
Like,
I literally watched this and I'm like, oh, yeah. this is going to enrage Alan.
Yeah, not
he
a crossover.
Is not going to be happy
no,
with
I
this.
No, I was very – number one, I spent $2
yes.
to watch it.
Yes.
Number
to be
two.
Fair, it was $2 that you did by accident. It wasn't the show's fault.
It was the show's fault.
No, he forgot to tape it, so he had to go to.
Well, no, Richard's saying it's my fault because I deleted it.
Yeah,
by accident.
Yeah,
but
it wasn't the show auto deleted itself.
It is not my fault that they didn't make a crossover.
No,
they advertised a crossover. This is a total com guy talking.
Yeah.
Well, they advertised a crossover, but it doesn't mean they have to deliver a crossover.
Actually, it does.
Because that, well, not to Richard. That's marketing.
When you say
you know?
A four-night crossover event,
yeah.
I'm expecting four nights.
Four nights.
No,
not
see, in
three
actuality, it means
plus
of
a coda.
Those four nights, yeah. and maybe a crossover happening.
Yeah,
it.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, no, the moment like no. the first like, portal showed up like early yeah. in the episode and then right. went away, I was like, oh my God, I know what they're doing.
Yep.
They're not
yeah.
showing up till the end.
I did not figure it out until the second one showed up.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
I know the first one.
Oh, you sons of.
Yeah, I just saw that. I was like, oh,
I cannot believe. That I am watching that, Supergirl
yeah.
as a crossover.
Though it was a pretty good episode of Supergirl.
Well, here's what I realized about Supergirl,
mm-hmm.
and it made me realize why I used to love Arrow so much.
Mm-hmm.
Supergirl, like when you look at all the stuff that's going on here, the Medusa virus is made by Kara's dad, right?
Yes.
So you've got like this identity crisis that
yes.
she's got to deal with. Her sister comes out as gay
yep.
to her mom. Lena double crosses her mom.
Yeah.
She
a lot
kisses
of parental
the,
issues in Supergirl.
Right. She kisses the alien, but then he doesn't remember or pretends not to remember.
You mean Mon-El.
There you go.
His name's Mon-El.
Like I said, I haven't been following.
Yeah.
I realized that what Supergirl is doing is building a superhero soap opera.
Oh, yeah.
Or a super opera.
A sopa?
Trademarked.
That was terrible.
No, it's good. A super opera. No. Like, that's what it is. Like, no. Good
I'd
superhero
super
television
opera.
Is super opera.
Yeah.
You wouldn't watch a super opera?
It's like
opera?
A soap opera.
Yeah,
with
no,
superheroes
no.
In it.
You don't need to
I
explain
feel like I do need to explain
no.
it to you because
no,
you're,
you
not, you're not appreciating it like you should.
Your explanation is not going to solve that.
Do you know what it is? It's a super opera.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. Not.
Yeah, it's a super opera.
Yeah, okay. You just keep repeating it because that's going to make it happen.
Super opera.
Yeah.
So. What I loved about Supergirl is it's this. It's got a really kind of weird, offbeat charm to it.
Yes, it does.
You know, it's just goofy.
Yeah.
The, like the jolly Thanksgiving. Like Mon-El doesn't understand Thanksgiving, or he brings
he doesn't understand
stuffing. You know.
Yeah.
And like that's all good.
I love
or there's
the good
scene,
fish out of water stuff.
Like where she's like, "Do you like me?" And he's like, "Of course I like you, but do you like me? Like me?
Yes."
Do you want to mate with me? Like there's
yeah,
was, there's moments where it kind of works. Like it has mm-hmm. a goofy, off. Putting kind of charm
yeah.
to it.
I don't find the charm off-putting. I like the charm.
It's a little, it's a little
it's a very
off-putting. Like
show.
It's just, the show is off-putting. Like yeah. It's not quite.
But the other thing that surprised me is yeah. you know, the whole point of Supergirl moving to the CW
right.
was that she would be, it would be easier to interact.
Right.
And this felt like an episode that you would do if Supergirl was still on that other network.
Right,
like it was still on CBS. Like I'm like, why? Right.
Yeah,
well, and really throughout the crossover, I'm like, there's like Supergirl still feels kind of like at arm's length.
It's clear. Let me say, I understand why they want to keep Supergirl at arm's length. Like if I'm a creator of Supergirl,
yeah.
and I'm watching Arrow and Flash and Legends,
right,
which are all trending the wrong way.
Yes,
this season I would say.
Yeah,
with some bright spots, but they tend to be trending the
yeah,
wrong
but I'm pretty
way.
Sure the makers of Supergirl are the makers of those three shows.
Well, maybe they're trying to distance themselves from themselves.
Yeah.
To keep the stink away.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, like, there's something
yeah.
going on there. But
yeah.
Supergirl drives me nuts. Like, everybody they cast has, like, really funny-shaped heads and long necks. Like, we talked about this on the radio.
I don't
That's what I find off-putting.
You didn't remember the entire show from last
Jimmy,
week,
Lena. Like, they've all got the Martian Manhunter guy. Like they've
I
all,
love Martian Manhunter. Can I just say that I love that they brought Martian Manhunter
Can I just say Martian Manhunter looks better proportioned once he becomes the Martian?
I remember there was an interview. They did an interview with the creators
yeah.
where they had cast the guy, and the guy just has like really kind of oddly shaped ears.
There's my point.
They and they were saying, and they were saying, weird. They're like, "Wow, it'd be really great if we he would have been great to cast as Martian Manhunter." And I guess Geoff Johns was there, and he was like, "Well, why don't you?" That was where the Martian
Thus
Manhunter
art
came.
Is born.
Yes.
Thank God Geoff Johns was there.
Yes. Well, you know,
saved us from
you could say that on so many levels.
God knows what. Yeah.
So. Well, we should probably move on to your favorite episode.
Well, no, like the heads and necks. You don't have any comment on
no,
that? Like
I don't.
Whoever cast that has some kind of weird fetish.
Okay.
Well, maybe just, the head and neck yeah. is
the Should we move on to your favorite show?
Well, I'll make sure I got everything. I guess Supergirl's been
with your favorite main character. Well, covered. We're 20 minutes in and we're not even halfway through.
Yeah, but we spent a lot of
Much
time
like
on the first
show.
Part. We're good.
Yeah, but
we're
Supergirl good. Wasn't really part of the crossover.
It
so.
Was not. Now the crossover kicks in.
Yes,
on
with
the
your
Flash.
With your favorite person. Barry Allen.
H.R. Wells. Oh, yeah. Barry.
You love Barry.
I got some comments on that later. But my question was when we started The Flash, like,
uh-huh.
how much is going to change as a result of the crossover, right? The right. crossover matters if it affects
Correct.
Universes. And I guess some things changed. Like everybody learns about Flashpoint.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, Flash and Cisco are friends now.
That's true, but that happened on Arrow.
Did that happen on Arrow?
Oh, no,
that,
it happened on Legends.
That happened on Legends.
It? Yeah,
yeah
okay,
that happened
enough.
On Legends.
There's a new Adam suit. But
yeah.
can
well,
I just say.
It's the same old Adam suit.
Flash, I've actually. I have a glimmer of hope for Flash right
okay.
now. Because the new H.R. Wells from Earth, whatever he came from.
He drives me nuts.
He is great.
Oh,
I
so
love the new. You don't like him?
They're just. It seems like they're trying too hard.
But that's the beauty of him. He's,
like he's
so
just,
earnest.
Like, he's just trying too hard.
He's so earnest. He's really funny.
Yeah. Did you like the
very, very
funny. Subtle nod to the Hall of Justice?
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, where is that at? Like, it kept flashing
I don't
to
know.
It, but I don't
Apparently
know.
Apparently it's a Star Labs auxiliary facility that's never been mentioned before.
Yeah, like, and it kept flashing in where the
like
where.
The best
and I'm
kind
like,
of
yeah,
crossover.
Like, it's somewhere. It's not next to, like, the actual lab.
I wasn't going to bring it up because I felt kind of dumb. I'm like, I don't get it. Like, I get what it's supposed to look like. Hey, the Super Friends live here. But,
Of Super Friends.
But beyond that, I'm like,
Well, I think it also helped to serve the budget. Because they spent a lot of time hanging out in that warehouse.
Yeah.
Talking about things that were happening. Oh, the president just got killed. I'm like, wait a minute.
It was a pretty talky.
Yeah. You could see kind of the budget constraints kind of somewhat running throughout.
Right, right.
I wish we could have showed you that.
Yeah. There was a lot. Yeah, there was a lot of that.
Like, well, we did see the president die, though.
We did. That was not the best example.
Yeah.
But, like, I think at one point, like, Firestorm comes in and says, you know, oh, the new president wants to meet with us. And I'm like, really?
There's a new president.
There's a new president. Yeah. That was a pretty quick constitutional crisis.
Yeah. By the way, if you're going to have aliens like the Dominators, you got to come up with a better name.
Oh, I did. Like, well, that's Cisco the name from the comic.
Needs to work on that. Oh, it's
who
no
cares
good.
At this point?
Yeah. So one of the things that Mark Guggenheim, who's one of the producers, he talked about the Dominators effects and that they were going to use cutting-edge prosthetics and computer effects to achieve a feature film quality look, which is faithful to Invasion artist Todd McFarlane's interpretation of the characters.
What was that? There's just, maybe it's better on TV.
Like, there's so much wrong rolled into that.
I read that quote and I'm like, that's going to be something we can talk about.
That reaches it reaches a peak with McFarlane.
Yeah, exactly. It works really well. Yeah. Well, because McFarlane was the original artist of the Invasion comic book that this was based
was
on.
Was not cinema quality.
Yeah, that was going to be my first question. Do you think McFarlane is feature film quality?
No, and I don't think the television crossover had feature film quality.
No, it did not.
We just talked about that.
It had slightly elevated television quality.
Right. But it also had one of the great crossover problems, which is like when Flash shows up to get Ollie's battling the Vigilante.
Yes.
Right, the Vigilante who he cannot defeat.
Correct.
On his own.
Right.
Flash could literally take him out.
Yes.
In 2 seconds.
Right. Well, this is the Supergirl problem as well. Like, she could have solved a lot of the problems by herself.
Well, that was my question at the end when they give her the little portal button where she can come back. I'm like, why don't you just stay and take care of Vigilante?
Well, that was one of the things.
Because the guy shoots guns. Like,
well, because here's the thing.
Just a Vigilante. Yeah. It isn't like he has a cool name and he has to.
No, he's called the Vigilante. He didn't spend a lot of time on the name.
Yeah. But
see, here's the thing that I found interesting, particularly from like a gender dynamic.
Yeah.
Is when Cisco gives her the little portal, he says, this is in case you ever need our help. It's not for her to come back there.
It's pretty insulting.
And I was like,
that's a little bit.
Despite the fact that they don't have it covered.
Yeah. No.
Like there's a guy running around, what is it?
In a ski mask.
City, you know, that he can't stop.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah, not good. So then Felicity says, best team up ever.
I think
that's a question we should keep in mind as we move forward, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
She's right. Can I say then, like one of the like places where it gets really talky and you feel like it's a crossover, and maybe you'll like it because you like the roll call aspect of George Perez's stuff. They get together in the warehouse and Supergirl goes around. She's like learning everybody's name.
Yes.
And she'll say their name and then they'll say their alias.
Right.
It was like this really long, awkward roll call moment.
You're
like, I get that it's a crossover,
subtle.
But
yeah.
Like, do we really need
people that are watching The Flash may not have watched, you know, the important way in which the foundation was laid in the Supergirl episode.
Right.
So that people understood everything that was going on.
Which one's Supergirl and who is she?
One's The Flash? Is she the guy in the green suit that shoots the arrows?
I think we've got it figured out. Yeah. Although with the Wild Dog and everything, like, it might be getting a little complicated.
Yeah, though they don't show up until they're only in the Arrow episode, pretty much.
And can I say that, like, the Chilly Cisco really sucks.
Chilly Cisco.
The unhappy, frosty, Barry killed my brother.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, mopey Cisco.
And he seems to be mad about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you would appreciate
that. Put it that way, Richard, it sounds like I'm holding Cisco to an unfair
standard. I thought you would appreciate that element of the show.
Evil time-traveling psychopath.
But I thought you would appreciate that element of the show because, like, the through line of Barry was basically, God, you suck.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You are a terrible person. Like, everybody finds out.
Well, until
how terrible a person
Cisco
is.
Goes back and accidentally changes the past in a bad way, learns his lesson. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, I've got a problem with that.
All right. Hey, by the way, did you know that White Canary is gay?
Yes.
Like, all of a sudden, they've decided. Like, she's always been lesbian, right?
Yes.
She always has been. People who watch the show know that she is.
Yes.
But it seems like in the last month or so, they've really decided on Legends to kind of put it forward.
Well, I don't know. They
like it's kind of constantly pushing at you.
See, I would say they really hit on it in the first Legends episode.
Yeah.
And then it kind of went away, and then they brought it back in this crossover.
Maybe that's true.
But I'm trying to remember, who did she say she thought was hot? Was it?
Almost any female that walked across the screen
except
at some
Supergirl.
Point.
Like, I don't think she ever said anything about Supergirl. It's like, that's kind of odd.
Yeah. Right. But everybody else is like, she's hot.
Yeah.
She's really good looking. Like, it just, great. You've got a gay character. Like, that's terrific. But when you do this to the character, it feels very forced and stereotyped and not particularly effective.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there were a couple genre classics in The Flash.
Yes.
That I love. Like, if you're going to have a crossover, at some point, you have to have the team battle the team.
Yeah, you got
to
have them fight
each
other.
Right,
that is a clear.
You've got to have the superheroes battling each other because there's a misunderstanding or, you know.
Or they're mind controlled. Right. Or maybe there's a misunderstanding and then they're mind controlled.
There's got to be something, right?
Or they're training.
That's right, exactly.
The other thing I really like is you know, the training montage with Supergirl where she basically just floats there and they all ineffectually shoot her. And I'm like,
By the way,
they're not learning anything.
Hey, guess what? The Dominators can't fly.
Yeah.
So they're not even training. Like, talk about stereotyping. We need an alien to train against. Like, literally any alien will do, even if her powers are entirely different.
Yeah.
It's an alien.
It's an alien.
So it's good.
Yeah. 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 Maybe not. Again, I think there were a number of sort of aspects of the show where the logic is a bit paper thin.
Yeah. Paper thin is an insult
paper.
To paper. Yes. Like you
well,
should...
the concept of thin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's fair, too. That's fair. So, and then there was another genre classic in it, the Flash Supergirl race.
Yes.
Right? You know, like that's, like you kind of expect it. So like, and the nerd in me really liked those parts of the crossovers. Like they were very much kind of nodding to exactly what comic book crossovers always do. Right?
Yes.
The artificial fight between superheroes that I guess Marvel introduced way back when they kind of were born in the 60s, right? Like turning their heroes against each other in ways that DC never did.
Right. Well, and again, it felt, you know, like the honest trailer of the Avengers Age of Ultron basically says it's the movie equivalent of taking your action figures and just smashing them against each other. I felt kind of like, that's what this crossover is. I'm just, you know.
Well, it felt very manipulated and very paper thin.
Right.
But it had,
as
for
most
me,
modern crossovers are.
But as a kid, like, who read crossovers, like, there was kind of a nostalgic, that's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Like, you're supposed to pit hero against hero.
Yep.
We're supposed to have a superpower race.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to assume Flash was your favorite.
Because
it clearly made the argument that you've been trying to make to me for literally 5 years at this point.
Which is what?
Has something to do with Hawkeye.
That Hawkeye is awesome?
That Hawkeye is useful in any concept?
Did not prove that. But when we saw the first Avengers and Hawkeye got beaten up repeatedly by the Black Widow.
Oh, that mind control makes you worse.
You argued that mind control makes you fight worse.
That is a staple of comic book.
And I said that is ridiculous and I don't buy it. But it was really interesting because as soon as our heroes are mind controlled, they're terrible fighters.
Yes,
like,
they are.
Dig and Thea, when they're heroes, whenever they shoot, somebody dies.
Right.
When they shoot... they hit their target.
Right.
As soon as they're mind controlled.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, Ollie is running down. Ollie is literally running down a straight
hallway.
Isn't
he carrying like a body at that point, too?
There's nowhere he can dodge.
Yeah,
there's nowhere he can hide. There's three people who never miss when they're heroes.
Whose skill set is the ability to shoot things.
Right. Exactly. Who never miss.
Yes.
Can't hit.
Because what?
It's the Stormtrooper
Diggle
problem.
Yeah.
Right?
It's Thea, it's Diggle, and it's White Canary, isn't it?
Thea, Diggle, and White Canary.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, so,
then,
you know.
It gets better. They finally corner Ollie. He's out of arrows.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's defenseless.
Yeah. I like the fact that he reaches back there like three times.
Yeah.
Nope. Nothing there now either.
Still not there. So, then, they have him in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
He's out of ammunition.
Yeah.
They stop shooting.
Yes.
And send White Canary to fight him one-on-one.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, Patrick's right.
Yep.
Like, mind-controlled heroes fight at about 40% of what they would fight as heroes.
Yeah.
So I apologize to you.
Oh,
Hawkeye is apparently not as lame as I thought
he
was.
No, he's not. And then in the first Avengers movie, he is mind-controlled, and that diminishes his skills.
He's still lame, but not as lame as I thought
he
was.
Yeah.
I'm giving you something.
Not much.
Something.
It's more than he usually gives you.
That's true.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And way more than we give Richard.
Fair enough.
You don't give me anything.
Speaking of archers.
Yes.
Are we ready to move on to Arrow?
I believe we probably should move on to Arrow. Yep.
So again, Arrow, kind of like Supergirl, was for me another sort of comic book crossover staple.
Absolutely. I think I know where you're going. It's the genre classic.
Of where you have, you know, the crossover goes into a solo character's title.
Yes.
And you have a manufactured situation to put the spotlight on that character that just brings the whole plot to a screeching halt.
Right. It did that, but it did something else. That wasn't the genre classic I was going to, okay. But you're right. It does come to kind of a screeching halt.
It's like, oh, yeah, we got to do Arrow storyline now.
Wait, it sounds like you're kind of arguing between Supergirl and Arrow that we didn't get a crossover at all.
No, we did. It's just in Flash and Legends.
Right. Okay. Because what I'm going to spin it differently. What Arrow did totally right is the genre classic, right? What you have to do is you create an alternate universe.
Yes.
Right? And so it's the Age of Apocalypse, which was actually kind of cool when it came out.
Like, I liked Age of Apocalypse. Like that was a better...
I remember when it showed up thinking, they're changing the titles?
Yep.
Like literally thinking, they're going to change the title? Like that's...
Yeah.
Massive. And of course they changed them back of and course. it was all fine, but like that is a great crossover yeah. idea. Like taking people out of where you typically see them and putting them into some kind of alternate universe
right.
struck me as again like a nod to sort of comic booky.
Oh yeah. Well, nerddom, I mean very right? much sort of the comic book crossover and just comic book trope of, you know, a bunch of people captured and put into like some kind of mind control
right.
device.
Right.
That gives them the shared family.
Absolutely.
And it was the 100th episode of Arrow. So they had to do like the crossover and like the anniversary episode
right.
together. So.
I think they actually hit a lot of nice points.
Yeah.
You know, like that Laurel was back.
Yep.
Was
well,
great.
Everybody was back.
Right. But that she started as naked?
No.
Probably not where she should start.
Well, you know, it's Arrow.
You're going to defend it.
I'm not defending it.
It feels like you want
not
to defend it.
No.
Oh, only because you're being recorded.
Nope.
Probably.
Not defending it. Yeah. That is
it's Arrow, so it's okay.
That is indefensible.
Otherwise, it'd be an issue.
Indefensible. That is sexist.
Yes.
And wrong.
I'm glad you're taking a strong stance about it.
I do.
Here's what I loved about having Laurel back. It had nothing to do with nudity.
Right.
I miss her on the series.
She's coming back on Legends.
Well, it's not the same, though. Like, because it just strikes me that like the replacements are not as good.
No.
Like, Mr. Terrific has been disappointing.
Yes.
Wild Dog is the best of them.
Really? Oh, he's so annoying.
Who's better than Wild Dog?
Well, he's the same arc every episode. No, Ragman is terrible.
No, Ragman's got the good special effects.
Oh, he's got,
he's
the,
got the good
the little effect. Rag reaches out and grabs you and like throws
but yeah,
you about.
The special effects on his voice that I can't understand what he's saying.
Yeah. Well, that's because he's the Ragman.
Oh, it's terrible. But no, Wild Dog like,
survived a nuclear apocalypse by being wrapped in ancient rags.
Yeah.
And you're giving him a hard time about his voice.
As it happens.
And we give issues to Indy for the fridge.
Yeah. But I got to say, like, every episode, Wild Dog is the hothead who learns not to be hotheaded. Every episode.
Ooh, like in this one, as my notes say, he hates metas and learns to love
and
them.
Learns,
yes, yeah.
Every
in
time
literally
like,
20 minutes, you're right. But he's still the best of them.
Yeah, he
like
is.
The what's the female's name?
Artemis, who is not even in the crossover at all. She never appears in any of the
like
episodes.
She's just totally unappealing.
Yeah.
Like it's not a good group.
No, it's not. Well, they're clearly like the also-rans.
Right. It just – you miss Black Canary.
Yes.
Like Laurel was interesting in that way.
Yeah.
What do you think about the idea that Oliver's happy ending was Laurel?
I thought that was nice.
And not Felicity.
No, that's – yeah.
Right? Like that to me was a really interesting twist.
I wonder if they're really trying to put kind of the Ollie Felicity thing
– to bed?
Know, yeah.
Maybe. I assume the cop she's dating is dirty though.
Oh, there's gonna be something.
There's got to be something going on there because
yeah.
they can't put Ollie and Laurel
dirty,
back together.
He's gonna get killed, like something like
right.
You know, he's too like generic, squeaky clean.
But they can't put the two back together.
Happen. But there were a couple things about the Arrow episode that didn't quite make sense for me.
Okay,
is that you're in this shared, you know, sort of
right
environmental environment,
right.
You know, that's all based on Ollie and Thea and everyone's memories.
So we should say that that's what's happened in the show at this point for people who are listening.
Yeah, like they're all trapped in
kidnapped
kind of,
by aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah, mind controlled. Go.
I would have expected Ray Palmer to be the first one to realize something was up. In the sense he's like, hey, I don't know any of these people. What am I doing here?
Right.
Like
well, but
he was like near the last to reel. I'm like, you don't know any of
wait,
these
but
people.
He was dating Felicity, right?
Yeah, but he
and they
know-
did date.
Yeah, but he doesn't know,
Arrow.
Like, Ollie's parents.
Well, that's true.
He doesn't know any of these people.
Their entire
like,
lives have been erased. Like,
I'm just like, I was like, it doesn't really, I was like, he would have been. And then the other
well,
thing.
There was a weird point, can I say, where they're figuring it out and they say, like, what do you remember before yesterday? And I think it's White Canary.
Yeah.
Who's like, I don't remember anything. And yet they're all acting like they know their parents and they've got these deep relations.
Yeah.
paper thin.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that was paper thin was the whole Thea doesn't want to leave, because that kind of came out of nowhere.
Right.
Like, there's the one scene where her mom hugs her and she has a flashback.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden she's like, I don't want to go. And I'm like, oh, that's not a character arc that had any foundation behind it.
Hey, did you know that White Canary's gay?
Yes. I'm pretty sure she hit on. Yeah. Who was it? Was it Felicity?
I can't remember.
At the party, there was someone, yeah.
She's, like, she hits on so many women, you can't keep track.
Yeah. And then, of course, we got to see, you know, Damian Dark back.
I thought you'd be happy. Yeah. Like, when he showed up to battle on the lawn, I knew you were going to be happy. Like, because you love some Damian Dark.
I don't. I was like, oh, geez. At least I know he's just a mental projection and
should
be around
long. Dress as Damian Dark next Halloween.
I don't think I could pull that off.
All you got to do is white the hair. You're good.
Yeah. And wear, like, a suit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
Worst costume idea ever.
Here's what I disagree with you about. Like, you're right that Thea's turn was a little forced, maybe. But I liked this arrow a lot because it had a lot of feels.
Oh, it was all about the feels.
It was just the feels, you know? Like, it was, like, and I kind of, it's what makes Arrow the best when they're the best.
You know, you got the nice moment when they're going back through the portal and Ollie looks back to see all the people.
Yeah, like, and it's 100th episode, but it's
look
like.
Look at all the people that are dead.
Yeah, like,
because of you.
Well, yeah, if you want to take the bad side of it. But, like, to me, the viewer, like, this was really good stuff.
Oh, these are the kind of episodes I love. Like, yeah, these kind of retro, the flashback-y episodes. Yeah, yeah, I love these episodes.
It's what made Arrow the first great super opera.
Yeah.
It was the Melrose Place of
superhero
television.
Like, you are just doubling down on.
When Roz.
Melrose Place, really? We're going to go back to this?
Melrose Place is, for about an 18-month span.
Yes, we know. The best greatest, television ever.
It might be the best television ever made.
18, yes, we know.
When it peaked, it was really good.
Yeah, but then it would crash.
When Ra's al Ghul put that, you know, sword through Ollie and killed him, that was the peak super opera.
See, I thought Ollie Season 2 was better.
Well, you might have.
I liked season 2.
I might have missed season 2.
Yeah, season 3.
You skipped the whole season.
No, but you're wrong. Like, season 3 is where it embraces the ridiculousness of the super opera.
Okay, please. I beg of you.
Don't say super opera?
Stop using that term.
What word shouldn't I use?
So it isn't something to get pregnant at this
point? If you say it, I'll stop using it.
I don't believe you.
Okay, then I'm going to keep saying.
You know what? You are Lucy with a football right now, and I am not falling for it.
You're no Charlie Brown.
I am a Charlie. Oh, come on.
You can kick it this time.
I am like 90% Charlie Brown.
Oh, really? And about 10% Peppermint Patty?
Maybe 10% Pigpen.
You got a little Peppermint Patty in you.
I do not.
Yeah. I guess you calling up Chuck.
So wait a minute.
Come on,
if
Chuck.
If I'm Peppermint Patty, does that make you Marcy?
I probably have a little Marcy in me, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. A little Marcy.
And you're definitely the boss, so.
So you're like Marcy and Linus, if he's Charlie Brown?
Marcy and Linus, if he's Charlie Brown. What? Like, what are you talking about?
Do you even know? Like, there's no connection between Marcy and Linus.
No, no. I was saying you're Charlie Brown, but Linus is Charlie
and that makes friend. That makes Colin Sally, and it makes Richard Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes. Can't you see the clear logic, Patrick?
I'm pretty sure he's the Red Baron.
I'm
now, you know what his? He's the teacher's like, murr, 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 murr.
You know what he is? He's that random kid in the back dancing during the Christmas episode.
Yeah.
So we may have drifted a little bit.
Yeah, but Arrow has, I love the feels of Arrow. It hits the super opera perfectly. Perfectly. Flash can't get there. Flash is trying too hard. You know what they should do?
Please don't.
Fire the cast. And make it about HR. I want
make it about HR.
HR Wells, not human resources. I want the HR Wells show.
See, now I'm imagining a show that's like the Star Labs Human Resources Department.
Okay, what, I was saying is
what if it was run by HR Wells?
That would be
pretty awesome.
Well, you know what's you can see what's going to happen if you've been watching Flash. Like HR has this whole idea of like turning Star Labs into a museum.
Right.
It's obviously what they're going to use the Hall of Justice for.
Oh, that makes sense. You're like, smart about these things.
Yeah, like I'm like, well, gee, you've got a nice, you know, museum-like building right there.
But if you had to go on a tour in it, wouldn't you go with HR? He would give a great tour.
I'd go with Cisco.
He'd be twirling those drumsticks.
Cisco would be a much better tour guide.
Well, Cisco, well, not like I'm mad at the world, yeah. Cisco,
well,
because
we
my brother died because Flash went back and made
Flash. Should we
talk
about the end of the crossover then?
I guess we should.
Since we're kind of talking about the main arc.
Feels like it's time. That would be Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, which we didn't get a chance to say.
Yes.
The title of this crossover.
Yes.
Heroes versus Aliens.
Yeah.
Is possibly the worst title they could have come up with.
Well, you think they were playing off of Cowboys versus Aliens, which was a great movie.
It's terrible.
It was awesome.
That movie is universally hated.
That movie is the classic summer popcorn movie.
I'm not sure that
Except
is.
It was terrible. No, the concept,
it was not terrible. Oh, here comes Mr. Power Ranger. You're going to talk to me about quality.
Yeah. Actually, Cowboy versus Aliens is pretty comparable to Power Rangers.
I disagree. That's why you
Power Rangers is way better.
But it's why you hate Transformers, too. You need to learn to embrace that part of America.
No, I don't.
Soon it will be the only part of America left.
Oh, my God. That is frightening.
Yeah. Starting in January sometime. It's all we got left is Cowboys versus Aliens, my friend.
Wow. That is really... I almost want to be harvested by aliens.
It's like looking into the future with Olivia Wilde.
Yeah. Yeah. There's worse futures.
I was going to say, like, the future could be could be uglier.
So back to Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, was that what we were talking about?
I think we were trying to get there.
I can't believe you didn't like Cowboys versus Aliens.
It's a terrible movie.
It's a great movie.
It is not. All right, so.
You know what we should do? Movies on trial for a future podcast.
That's a good idea.
I'm saying it now just so Colin catalogs it.
Yeah.
Oh, look, he's still paying attention. I thought maybe.
Kind of. I think he said his name.
Thought maybe he had checked out, though. Yeah. He looked like he might have been asleep.
Yeah. You know what I really appreciated about Legends of Tomorrow?
Yeah. We know you are, too.
What I really appreciate about Legends of Tomorrow, I bet you can't guess.
Can't imagine.
It ended?
That the key to everything was Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
Like, woohoo! Yeah. Oregon! Yes!
We exist.
We are the key to the universe.
Except, let me ask you a question. I have a time travel question.
Oh, I love these.
If the timeline has changed, how come Martin doesn't remember his daughter? He now has a daughter that he didn't have in the
original
timeline.
Because he was in the time stream when it changed.
So but he's now back in the timeline.
Right, but he was outside when
Shouldn't
the change
Shouldn't the memories
happened.
Come back?
No, that's not how it works.
Why not?
Because he's outside, and so his timeline that he remembers remains intact.
But he's still part of the timeline because his daughter remembers him being in the timeline. Then where's the Martin who raised her?
I don't know.
Where
that is a good question.
Thank you very much.
Hanging out with Baby Barry.
I have once again lured you into what we will now call...
At the bottom of the pit with Baby Barry.
We will now call... The Baby Barry trap.
Yes, you have.
You have
it's the Baby
stumbled
Barry
right
principle.
Into the Baby Barry trap.
You're 100% right. There's clearly a Martin.
There's got to be a Martin somewhere who loves that daughter.
Yeah.
Raised that daughter.
Yep.
But now Martin from the time stream is going to step in and take over.
And has wiped that Baby Martin out.
Yeah. So Baby Martin and Baby Barry, we should do like missing posters.
Are they going to be
it took me a moment to realize when Caitlin's talking about, oh, she's a nanotechnologist. I was like, how do you know that? I was like, oh, she was there, and she actually remembers, like, her and all that.
It.
I was like, Martin was – I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, then I'm like, oh, but
wait,
where was –
Martin's wife is dead in the new timeline, right?
I'm not sure. They haven't showed her. I think that's a possibility.
It seemed like they were implying she was dead.
Well, it's definitely a possibility. They have not said one way or the other.
Because he says, like, where's mom? And she's like, huh? What are you talking about?
Exactly.
Right?
Like, there's clearly something going on with mom.
So now talk about a Sophie's Choice, unlike Richard's Sophie's Choice earlier. Like, eat the big Rice Krispie treat of death.
Banana. Or pretty sure that was off air.
Yeah. Well, but just – that's why I'm describing it now. Yeah. Like, save your wife or the daughter you never knew.
He went with wife. He went with
daughter.
No,
he's totally in with daughter. Okay, so there's a woman that you spent your whole life with and you love.
Well, he doesn't know that she's dead. He doesn't pick up on the fact that she's like, what are you talking about? So
if you're a superhero, your wife is dead.
Yeah, so there's the point, though. Like, it's the Baby Barry trap again. Yeah. It makes me mad.
Right.
I kind of hope
to
come back.
The thing that made me mad was the way they resolved the whole Cisco Barry thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Because Cisco, like you said...
He goes back to 1951.
In time, you know, and you know, lets the Dominator free, and then realize, oh, I changed the timeline too. I'm just like Barry, and I'm like, no, you're not, because you didn't do it for your own selfish reasons.
Well, that's true.
Like, you actually did it out of compassion for the Dominator.
That's a fair point.
And hoping that it would actually help in the future, not to, like, bring your brother back.
Yeah.
Like, no, Cisco, you did not do the same thing that Barry
did. And it was
did.
Dumb on another level.
You
which
were a
was,
better person than Barry.
They have to figure out a way to make Cisco make up with Barry.
Of course.
And so it's this very forced kind of paper-thin plotting that pushes him back.
Yeah.
Here's what drove me nuts about Legends of Tomorrow. It's so badly DC wanting to be Marvel.
Yes.
Right? There's a couple of scenes that are just blatant Marvel ripoffs.
Well, there's the biggest one.
Well, I want to end with that one.
Yeah,
if that's okay.
I know which one you're talking about.
If you missed it, I was going to be profoundly disappointed.
Do you really think I'm going to miss
it? Oh, ye of the Avengers fandom. Yeah.
Do you really? I'm like, oh, God, no.
Right, so let's but that's where, that's where I want to end.
Yeah.
Before that, there's the moment that's like the Quicksilver moment out of the X-Men film franchise where Flash runs around really quickly and everybody else is in slow motion, and it is the lamest. Like, they clearly don't have the budget.
Yeah.
And it's clearly not their own idea.
Well, that,
like, do something new.
Well, then that final episode, a lot of it was like, wow, you really ran out of budget. Because I'm like, the whole Arrow's like, or the whole Green Arrow, Supergirl, you need to stay on the sidelines. I'm like, why?
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Why you?
Oh, that's in my notes. Like, doesn't make a lot of sense to leave the only, like, heavy hitter you've got.
Exactly. I'm like, no.
I need to get some normalcy.
Yeah. I'm like, now's not the time for normalcy because you've got alien invaders. Right. Maybe wait until after.
Hey, question. Why did the Dominators retreat after the bomb doesn't go off?
Because they hurt really, really bad. Really?
Oh, by the way, did you know the White Canary's gay?
Yes.
Yeah. Again, this episode. Really? Like,
Yeah, no, the whole, like, we're going to create these devices that are going to cause the Dominators just enough pain to make them run away. I'm like, that does not seem like a good strategy.
Nope. No, bad strategy. But then the worst ripoff of all is the end when Supergirl says they are
Earth's mightiest heroes. And I'm like, no.
Did you literally throw up in your mouth when she said that? Like, I imagined, like, talk to us about your anger.
Oh, I was like, nuh-uh. Like, no. That is a line.
Screwed. This is the best we can do.
This shall not stand.
We shall not cross because the Earth's mightiest heroes
are
the Avengers. Like, that is their tagline.
It is their tagline. Like, everybody knows Earth's mightiest heroes are the Avengers.
I am an exec at Marvel. I've got the lawyers on the phone right now.
You'd sue.
Oh, I'd totally sue. That is the Avengers tagline. I'm pretty sure they had that on the covers in the 80s. Like, that is, I'm like,
no, they did. They did. Yeah.
I'm like, no.
No, they don't get to be Earth's mightiest heroes.
They're number one.
I actually share your outrage.
Number one, I
could not believe it.
Because you know what? And this is going to shock you. They're a bunch of Hawkeyes. They are not Earth's mightiest heroes.
Wow. Everything on mic.
We've never agreed.
Yeah. No, I totally
agree. We are totally on the same page.
Because, like, when they're fighting the Dominators and Diggle's got, like, his little tiny gun. I'm like, dude, it's not effective.
So here's the thing. They could have just gone with, like, world's finest.
Yes.
Right? It would have been a very DC kind of phrase. It would have pulled it together.
Any number of things that are not, I saw that.
They went divided and associated with the Avengers.
Like, Earth's might, like, and to me, it was just, like, this blatant reveal of the entire DC filmic universe, television and the big screen.
Okay.
Desperately wanting to be Marvel, but always, like, a year and a half behind.
Right.
So Suicide Squad is kind of what Deadpool was, right?
It wants to be, right?
But you can't do Deadpool after Deadpool's done it.
No.
And then they're not only repeating Deadpool, but they're repeating it poorly.
Yes, very poorly.
Justice League, you can see them building to it way too quickly because they got to catch up to Marvel's
But that's always
Avengers,
the problem.
Right?
You know, DC is trying to catch up in less than half the time.
Right.
To what Marvel spent years.
Undoubtedly, DC executives are listening right now.
Because we are
tastemakers.
What are we?
Tastemakers.
Yes, we are.
Not taste maesters.
No.
Yeah. But taste makers.
Which, I mean, it's something that sounds like I would say.
Exactly, but might have been something I said like 8 times on the radio yesterday.
Yeah.
We're tastemakers. Here's what I would say to DC. Stop. You're not Marvel. You don't need to be Marvel. Quit trying to model Marvel. Figure out who you are and make a film about who you are.
I would differ with that just a little bit.
Yes.
I would say, you know, you're not Marvel. Stop trying to be Marvel.
Okay, it doesn't sound like a difference yet.
Hire us to figure out who you are.
I like that.
Yeah.
Look, you give us 6 months.
Yeah.
Rewriting, rebooting the DC universe.
Stop hiring Zack Snyder.
That would be the first move. It's like, Zack Snyder needs to go.
Yeah.
Like everything, every
you know what
can be,
DC
can
needs to do is they need to clear the decks.
Yeah.
They need to start fresh, and who better to start fresh with
than us? Yes, because we're the fresh maker. Oh wait a minute, no, that's Bentos. Yeah. I think.
You know we're
pulled to DC though.
Here's our pitch. You're thinking about it all wrong. You need to think about the Justice League as Earth's mightiest heroes.
No, I do not, because that is wrong.
There's the poster.
That is a crime. That is, like, when she said that, I'm like, no.
I
love you, Supergirl, but no.
Supergirl is...
Bad Supergirl. Bad.
I don't think you should talk to women like you're talking
I'm talking to the character. Yeah.
Bad writers.
Are you going to hit her with newspaper now?
Yes.
Across the nose?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think you can do that. But
I can't because she's, you know, on the TV.
Right. Yeah, fair point. Fair point. But yeah, it was a moment, I thought, where for whatever the crossover did well, and there were those nice genre moments where it just felt like
– Right.
It's like watching the kid trying too hard to be what he's not.
Yeah.
Like, figure out who you are and embrace who you are, because you're never going to be Marvel.
Right.
And you don't want to be – like, who wants to be Marvel? Like, that's Marvel. Like, be yourself.
Right. So overall
– yes.
What would you sort of give the crossover overall?
Yeah, well, my students say I'm a pretty easy grader.
I'm pretty sure they don't say that.
But I'd give it like a B.
Yeah.
I'd give it like an 85, 86.
Yeah, that's where I put it. On the professorial scale. It was a fun romp. Like, I enjoyed
it. Romp.
Yeah.
Romp is the word to use.
That's
it was a fun romp with some nice nods to sort of what a crossover does.
Right. It was just a fun, you know, just kind of brainless sort of popcorn movie, which are the kind of movies that I like.
Like Cowboys versus Aliens.
Or like Transformers.
Transformers. Same thing.
Which are like, things that I am on record
you hate those
as
things.
Loving.
You hate those things.
I know.
I just
like
think you find them entertaining.
I like it when it's superheroes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it was perfectly good. I thought Flash and Arrow were the best of the two.
Oh, I
like
absolutely
Arrow's
agree.
Feels.
Well, you can't even really include Supergirl because it's just an episode of Supergirl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not a crossover.
And Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, by the way, DC.
Like,
I want
Legends of Tomorrow kind
back.
Of had to cram like everything in. I'm like, we went to Oregon. I'm like, wow, they are doing a lot in this episode.
Yeah. I just want to be clear. I want my $2 back from
you
DC.
You need to tweet at them to get that.
I don't think it's DC. What did you get it from? Like iTunes?
Well, I bought it through Service Electric.
Okay. So you need to call Service Electric.
I'm calling Service. Those people do great, great service.
Yeah, I like them.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, that silence seems to suggest
it seems like
that
we might have wrapped up the show.
We've come to an end.
We have.
So thanks for joining us
on
this
trip
through crossover history.
Yep, and next week will be our Christmas episode.
Is it our Christmas episode already?
Yes.
Oh, because the one after that is going to be
Rogue One,
which is coming. So
that's right.
Be sure to tune in next week for something Christmassy.
Yes.